Joe's freaking auto!
This is Brock and Salk.
Brock Huard is my hero.
Jay Buhner just punched me in the kidney.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines studio.
On Seattle Sports.
We're going to do you on the interview.
That really worked that way, Sherm. This is a show that has my name on it.
It kind of does, though.
Brought to you by Simply Seattle.
Now here are your hosts, Brock Huard and Mike Salk.
Hello!
All right, we roll along here in a little Friday edition of the Brock and Salk Show. I see G. Scott outside. He's going to be coming by in a half hour. We can hear more about his little play date with Justin over the weekend and the kind of fun they had with Betsy. And he's got some Mariners bee in his bonnet. I don't know what the heck he's doing, but he's upset about something and he wants to come in here and play gotcha or something. He's going to get me. He's going to show me that he's smart or something. So that's coming up here in about 30 minutes.
Or something.
I'll be prepared for that. Right now, though, it's time for a little Shannon Dreher conversation, our Mariners insider. Hi, Shannon. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Mostly good. It's good to have you guys all back and good to have the team back. What was your kind of overall takeaway from what you saw on the road trip?
Still a lot of struggle. The concern is the starting pitching. It has to come around because Castillo and George Kirby, far too good for what we've seen so far. I think we've seen baby steps with the offense. I think still kind of where we've been with the defense, a decent game here and a game that just can't happen there. So, maybe a little bit of a step forward since they left, but there's a long ways to go.
Yeah, the starting pitching. I mean, I was going to sort of ask you of the things that you've seen, which ones are real concerns and which ones are you like, yeah, all right, whatever. Things happen over the course of a small sample size. What are your like actual concerns?
I think kind of going back to your previous question, what is real, what you're a little more encouraged about? I think they're different struggles for the three that have been struggling in particular. Luis Castillo, to me, is a little bit of a mystery. You know he's got the great stuff. You know he's throwing it far too much over the plate. His last start was the most frustrating, I think, that I've seen from him because I really just early on just started focusing in on where the catcher was set up, and it was many, many times. You know, Cal would call for it inside. It would definitely go outside, call for it up. It would go down. And, you know, I told you, he really doesn't know where the ball is going right now. And I think that that is a product of the stuff that is because he has so much movement with it. And it's something that, you know, we saw with Felix from time to time. You've got to figure it out. And, you know, what the Mariners do is they try with the targeting and the catcher. And it, one of the fun things actually has been to watch Cal. You know, he got into a little bit better shape in the offseason. He's been very athletic behind the plate, and you see that with him, and you see him trying to set those targets and the ball just not going where it should. Well, that to me, you can only set up so far and set up in different places. How do you get him to where he needs to be? Mm-hmm. And I think that is a little bit of a challenge, but also the track record is so good that you can't feel too awful about it. It has to happen, right? Kirby is a little bit more interesting because I think it's not that he's been figured out. I mean, he had a whole year. You know, the league has seen him. He's a known quantity. But I think for the first time, it's really, really striking him that he has to do more than just fill up the zone, which is, you know, over the last year and the few times he had a struggle, that would be his answer. I just have to go back out there and just fill up the zone, keep filling up the zone. And you know that's his identity. Hates walking people. And, well, how do you walk people? Well, you don't throw strikes. And we've been over it before. There are good strikes and there are bad strikes. And sometimes it's not enough just to have the good strikes. Sometimes you've got to use the illusion. You've got to get them to chase. And this last outing, again, which was a little bit kind of not confounding, but I guess maybe encouraging that you've seen him do it. The outing before, he was able to use the curveball a little bit more to that effect. This outing, his last outing, the curveball was ineffective. And I think that hurt him greatly and he was getting hit. But I think coming out of that outing and hearing how he talked about it, he's always acknowledged that, yes, I need to get below the zone with this pitch or that pitch. I think he's understanding a little bit more that, yeah, you really do.
How about Julio? What have you seen and how has he handled some of his early struggles? I think we kind of understood him the first 2 years, right? In year one, okay, fine. He was new and he wasn't getting any calls. Then last year, maybe we talked afterwards about the pressure, the All-Star game, et cetera, and kind of learning to be a star for the first time and the pressure. What's this year? What's going on?
You know, it's hard to tell what I think, and you're right, it isn't as specific as the first 2 years, even though the numbers are very similar to what he put up in his first year and his first 2 weeks. I think if I had to take a good look at it, I think he is perhaps not 100% comfortable with the changes that he made at the plate and, you know, in specific with the setup. And I think that perhaps that's got his timing off a little bit right now. We saw him early with the ability, okay, he's laying off the right pitches in the right situations. And now that it's kind of compounded, you're starting to see a game like you saw 2 days ago where he is striking out more. He is kind of flailing a little bit more at pitches that he shouldn't be offering at. You've seen the encouraging signs. You know it's all there with the exit velocity. You've seen that he can lay off those pitches. But I think with him, it's a lot of adjustment. And I think that there is, you know, he is younger. I think he hasn't gotten to the point where he can make those adjustments very quickly. And I do think that with the setup changes that he made, it probably is not as automatic, is not as comfortable. When he doesn't get into the spot where he needs to get into, he's probably not seeing the ball quite as well, and his timing is probably a tick off. I think that's the biggest thing with him right now.
Did he need to make changes? Like, what, is that something that was necessary? It felt like he was pretty good.
Well, I mean, you could say he was pretty good, but when you looked at last year, the struggles were long and they were hard to get out of. And that was one of the main goals, was to get to something where he could get out of those struggles when they happened. And I do think that eliminating a lot of the movement that he had in his setup and getting, you know, getting to the ball, it was in an attempt to help him see the ball and make those decisions better.
Real quick, Shannon, last thing, because you always have such a good pulse on it. We said, and you and I spent a lot of time talking about this. All right, the clubhouse was sort of reunited after the way the season ended last year. Everything was really positive. And we said, okay, well, let's see how it deals with a little bit of adversity. And the first 2 weeks have been nothing but adversity. How has the clubhouse withstood some of the early struggles?
It's fine. I, you know, you do look around, you do see if you have some grumbling here or there, and you're not seeing that. They're not happy with where they're at, but I talked to Mitch Haniger just 2 days ago, and he is, you know, pointing out to those that need it pointed out to relax. This isn't the start that we wanted to get off to. There's no question about that, but there is plenty of season. We have to make up a game here. We have to make up a game there. You know, the most important thing is that you get to where you need to be right now. So I don't think, it's obviously not where they want to be, but there's no panic. And I think that there is a recognition, and where that recognition isn't, you do still have the veterans stepping up and talking to players. So I think that's okay right now.
Good stuff. Shannon, great to hear your voice, and glad you're back home, and we'll talk soon.
You got it.
All right, there you go. There's the great Shannon Dreher, and you can follow her, of course, everywhere, and more importantly, read her stuff at seattlesports.com. All right, let's see. G's coming in 20 minutes. Jeez, am I ready for
this?
You don't sound like it.
I don't feel ready.
You don't?
I'm not ready. I don't.
It was his birthday yesterday.
You're already
be nice
annoyed.
To him.
Is that why he's like coming in on such a lot? Like, I don't want to fight. I don't have it in me.
Disarm him right away.
I might just turtle. What if I just turtle?
Just give him a bunch of compliments. Right,
what if he comes in and I just like full on turtle? I put my hands up over my face and just straight. Like, I don't have the energy to fight.
Might not be great radio.
I don't care.
Think that works.
I just don't want to fight. Like, I don't want to fight no more. I just want to chill.
I'm tired, boss.
I'm tired of fighting, man. Let's all be friends. Anyway, G's coming in 20. We'll give you what you need to know next. Brock and Salk, CL Sports on 710.
You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Mariners group outings are a great option for all kinds of events. School family nights, fundraisers, office parties, and more. It's as easy as choosing a game and gathering a group of 20 plus. Start planning your outing today at mariners.com/groups.
Spring is here, and now is a great time to visit the incredible new showroom at Toyota of Kirkland. Right now, Toyota of Kirkland has over 400 new Toyotas in stock and on the way, including Camrys, RAV4s, Tacomas, Highlanders, 4Runners, and Tundras. Test drive one today and drive it home immediately. Let the team at Toyota of Kirkland take the hassle out of the car buying experience. Toyota of Kirkland will exceed your expectations in every way. Visit them today or shop online at toyotaofkirkland.com.
O'Brien.
Now.
massive. The Power of Pop Culture is Seattle's Museum of Pop Culture's newest exhibition, featuring iconic artifacts from artists Beyonce, Nirvana, and more. All throughout May, Washington residents receive special discounts on tickets and memberships. Tickets at mopop.org/maycation.
Cantor Diamond, greater service, greater diamond options, and greater savings. Meet us in our professional private Tacoma showroom by appointment only. CantorDiamond.com or globally by phone, email, or Instagram at KANTOR Diamond. Cantor Diamond, truly the best diamond prices.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Brock and Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
Yeah, Mariners got to get themselves in gear and going tonight. First of three with the Cubs. And then after that, you got the Reds coming in for three as well. So a little interleague series, homestand rather, for the M's. Look, they have not started well. There's no other way to say it. They've played some really troubling baseball on all sides. But they've not exactly let anybody else get too far away from them either. The Rangers are in first place. They're a whopping two games ahead of the Mariners today. The Astros have really struggled out of the gate. They're 4-10 to start the year, which is a big old wow. So everybody's right there, right within striking distance. Bryce Miller will be on the hill tonight against Jordan Wicks. Reminder, it is on Apple TV tonight if you're looking to watch. Of course, you can listen to it right here on Seattle Sports on 710. A little good news on the injury front on both of the relievers we're waiting on.
Matt Brash threw a live BP, and that went very well. So we keep our fingers crossed. He can keep progressing there. Santos has picked up, he's in a throwing program now, working his way towards getting on the mound, but he's a little bit farther behind. So I don't want to get too much more detail, no timelines, nothing like that, but it has been very positive.
So shake it up.
You were dancing shake the whole time that clip was
playing. Yeah, you got the Cars. Little Cars on there. Anyway, that would be great. Be great to have Brash back. Be great to see Santos eventually. But remember, that's not been the problem. Those guys aren't going to come in and start hitting. They certainly make your bullpen better. But that's not really been a challenge. And they've gotten kind of enough of what they need there. Hopefully they can just start doing what they need to do. Play defense, hit, and pitch the way you're supposed to in your starting rotation. And that's got to start tonight.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Love the interview with John Schneider yesterday with Wyman and Bob. Two things jump out. The first is at the end of this clip here, as he was asked about their 30 visits that they had with two quarterbacks, Spencer Rattler and Bo Nix.
Yeah, no, we don't study quarterbacks. Just because we've only drafted two, I get it.
Yeah.
We want to get to know these guys a little bit better and spend time with them. And Spencer's a real impressive guy, and so is Bo. And we just wanted to be able to spend a little bit more time with those guys, have the coaches be able to spend more time with them on the board. And, yeah, you want to cautious of their time as well. They're out here on West Coast visits, so try to set those up when they're, visiting the Rams, the Chargers, the Niners, and try to fit those in. And we love Sam. We love what we did, being able to acquire Sam. We talked about the age. He's got the experience, but that doesn't preclude us from, what we do in the draft.
It doesn't preclude us from what we do in the draft. And then we talked to Bob Condotta today, Blue 88, and he's like, yeah, that definitely echoes everything he's heard from Schneider and others as well. I don't know. It felt to me after the Sam Howell trade as if it was a admission on John's behalf of, look, we're not going to get one of the guys we want, so we better get somebody and just, have Sam Howell in here. Maybe that's not the case. I mean, maybe it's as Bob said, like, look, this precludes them from having to, but it doesn't preclude them from doing so. And I do think it's an interesting scenario. What if they do take Penix at 16? Could you then find a trade partner? What did we say that the actual value for Howell was basically a sixth round pick when you kind of maneuvered it all around? What if you then traded him and got back a fifth or a sixth round pick at that point in order to help you here get back into this draft and maybe move back up into the third round? So yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of back open-minded to the idea that could actually be a possibility. Here's one other from Schneider, asked about the offensive linemen and how things have changed with the way they identify them.
When we got here, we were looking for the zone, the Coach Gibbs stuff, who's coaching for Coach Mike Shanahan, the cutoff guys, the guys that could really, the quick, we ended up being a little too much, too quick, too undersized, right? Mm-hmm. And you get a, then all of a sudden you change the system and now you're too light and then now your pocket integrity is compromised, right? So we have the same type of body types that we want and we try to stick to that. And, guys that can execute what we want to be able to execute, but everybody, you know, every position, they all come in different shapes and sizes.
Yeah, so kind of interesting to see that that has evolved a little bit, and it is one of those challenges when you switch systems. Seems like they kind of now just have what they want, and they're going to adapt around it.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
I'll tell you who absolutely nailed this right now is Bryson DeChambeau. Just a lot of it based on timing, right? So he started off yesterday before the wind really kicked up. He managed to go 7 under. And then this morning, as things have been awful, a lot of guys have been kind of heading down the leaderboard in the wrong direction. So he's still there at 7 under, leading the Masters after 1. Max Homa's teed off today. He is 6 under through 3. Scottie Scheffler's right there at 6 under. And then it's a couple back to Cam Young, Danny Willett, and others after that. So early second round action now at the Masters. And we're not going to talk about where Jordan Spieth is. He's clearly not doing well. I don't know what's happened to him. I don't know if he's sick, if he's hurt, but he's like 8 over. So something has obviously gone terribly
bad
wrong.
It's having a bad day.
Yeah, it's just it happens to the best of us.
Literally. It's the best.
To the best of us.
In the play, in their world.
Yeah. All right. There you go. That's everything you need to know. We've gone through the Shohei stuff a few times today, but that is a pretty ugly situation. You know what? Heck, I'll play you the sound. This is the U.S. attorney in the case, Martin Estrada, talking about the charges that are now being filed against Ipe Misuhara, his former interpreter.
Our investigation has revealed that due to the position of trust he occupied with Mr. Ohtani, Mr. Misuhara had unique access to Mr. Ohtani's finances. Mr. Misuhara used and abused that position of trust in order to take advantage of Mr. Ohtani. Mr. Misuhara used and abused that position of trust in order to plunder Mr. Ohtani's bank account to the tune of over $16 million.
I mean, that's pretty clear cut, right? I mean, the U.S. attorneys, we've talked about before, U.S. attorneys generally don't go and take on cases unless they're going to win them.
Yeah.
They just don't do it. U.S. attorneys don't lose. Like, by the time it gets to them and they decide to prosecute, they know they've won, or else they don't bother. So if this is the way they're talking about this case, I would say it's as close to exonerating Shohei Ohtani as you possibly could right now.
They have a lot of text messages, and they apparently have proof that it was actually Ipe that called the bank and pretended to be Shohei at times.
Yeah.
Yeah, the message from bookmaker to Ipe is like, you're putting me in a position where this is going to get out of control. If I don't hear from you by the end of the day, it's going to be out of my hands.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Yeah, I mean, the guy had a serious problem.
Yeah.
And he stole $16+ million. And, you know, as we said at the beginning, it was believable that Shohei was behind it and that he was using this guy to place bets in his name. And as I told you then, it was believable to me that a baseball player would have enough faith in somebody around him to just not even deal with his own finances and just let somebody else do it. And that appears to be, anyway, what's happened here with Ipe. So crazy story,
situation. Tell everybody should read the complaint.
Yeah. I think that's another one G wants to talk about. I think he doesn't believe it.
We've had some people say, like, how come his agent or other people weren't asking questions? And I saw something earlier where his agent apparently asked a couple of times, and Ipe said that that was a private account that Shohei didn't want anyone looking into.
Yeah, I bet he did.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you don't want to look into that, whatever you do. All right, speaking of things you don't want to do, I really don't want to even have G on today because I know he's going to come in and want to fight with me, and I don't want to fight. I just want us to be friends. I want everything to be hunky-dory. Like, we went to that concert, we had a good time, and now he's out for blood. I don't understand.
Do you think you can just play just the way you did during the draft reactions? Explain your emotions. Share your emotions to G through song.
I think I would just, yeah, maybe. Let me think. Let me see if I can steel myself and be ready for this. It's coming up next. Brock and Salk, Seattle Sports on 710, seattlesports.com.
You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Massive, the power of pop culture, is Seattle's Museum of Pop Culture's newest exhibition, featuring iconic artifacts from artists Beyonce, Nirvana, and more. All throughout May, Washington residents receive special discounts on tickets and memberships. Tickets at mopop.org/maycation.
Cantor Diamond, greater service, greater diamond options, and greater savings. Meet us in our professional private Tacoma showroom by appointment only. CantorDiamond.com or globally by phone, email, or Instagram @KANTOR Diamond. Cantor Diamond, truly the best diamond prices.
Spring is here, and now is a great time to visit the incredible new showroom at Toyota of Kirkland. Right now, Toyota of Kirkland has over 400 new Toyotas in stock and on the way, including Camrys, RAV4s, Tacomas, Highlanders, 4Runners, and Tundras. Test drive one today and drive it home immediately. Let the team at Toyota of Kirkland take the hassle out of the car buying experience. Toyota of Kirkland will exceed your expectations in every way. Visit them today or shop online at toyotaofkirkland.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Brock and Salk.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Midday 6 to 10.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
Oh, this is what the people they want it. The people need it today. It's Friday.
They do.
They got to have G. Scott in the building.
On,
what's up, man?
Good morning. I'm good, man.
How was your play date with Justin and Betsy?
It was great. Vancouver, BC did not disappoint. My man Justin was in the building, and he was with Betsy.
Yeah, now, so you got to hang with Betsy.
I got to hang with Betsy. And I know everybody today at 8:30. Mm. I know it was must-hear radio. You wanted to know, what was it like with Betsy?
Because there was a tweet that confirmed. It's official.
It's official. She's real.
Right.
Yeah.
So let me explain Betsy first.
Okay.
And then I'll explain what I see with this relationship between Justin and Betsy.
Okay, tell us about Betsy.
All right. Have you guys watched Lifetime movies before? You ever watched Lifetime? You ever watched those Lifetime? Anyway, on the Lifetime movies, there's always, it's usually the same damn story where you
go
back to
Christmas movies?
Yeah, you go back to the small town and the gal goes back and she's there visiting family and just so happens to run into an old fling. And they live happily ever after, right? Well, the one that goes back to the town is always like this, like she's really good looking, right? She's successful, but she's so humble.
Right.
She's down so nice.
Yeah.
She's more likely to spend time, investing time into the community, giving back, volunteering, right? Y'all, Betsy is a Lifetime movie. I'm telling you.
That's actually a pretty good call, man. No. I got to say, that's because Justin tried to say at some point that she's girl next door. And I was like, she's too pretty. You don't get to be tall and blonde and pretty and still call yourself girl next door. Like, that's obnoxious. You can't do that.
Nah.
Now, but Lifetime movie? That's a pretty good call.
So I could have easily gave you all girl next door, but I don't think it would have done it justice for who Betsy is.
Right.
Now, I'm not just saying this, y'all. Betsy is the ultimate girl next door.
Mm.
Ultimate.
What?
And let me explain. Let me go into why.
Oh my God.
First of all, like, I'm still gonna understand how in the world that did Justin land this amazing woman. So 1 minute.
Because everybody likes Justin. They do.
1 minute.
Who doesn't like Justin?
I didn't.
Everybody does.
I didn't say yes or no. I was thinking about it.
I would say you definitely insinuated no.
Yeah.
Feeling.
So, anyways, like, when you first see Betsy, when I first see her, I'm like, oh, wow. Hey, hug. Like, wow, she is incredible looking. And then she sits down and talks. And the conversations, and it just flows so well. She's engaging. She's curious. She asks you questions. She is just a really down-to-earth person. Mm. So it's had me scratching my head all weekend. How did Justin land Betsy?
And what'd you come up with? Nothing.
Nothing.
Well, Justin, are you regretting going on this trip at this point? No,
I mean, he's a movie star.
No, I figured it out. Justin is he's from Montana, and in Montana, Justin was a real big deal, right?
Like,
were you
prom king?
Were you prom king? Yes or no?
I think it might have been homecoming. I don't know.
No.
He thinks it might have been both.
No, stop right there.
Yeah.
Were you prom king?
He was the king so many times, he can't remember how many.
Which king were you, Justin?
There was more than one, but I don't remember if it was prom.
Let's remember.
Justin, don't try to be humble. Brock sent us a picture.
Answer the question.
I know I was homecoming king.
Okay. So again.
Right. He's a homecoming king.
Lifetime movie, right? Justin is the guy in the Lifetime movie.
And
so what happened was, is instead of Betsy going to Montana, she meets the homecoming king in Seattle.
Reverse. Okay.
That's what happened.
Yeah.
And they're awesome to travel with, right?
Yeah.
Really cool. And you really start to find out about people. Like, you might like, oh, I like this person. I like this person.
And then you're like.
And then you go travel with them, and you're like.
Yeah, nope.
Matter of fact, I have somebody close to my family that just actually did that.
Was really
loving this person. Like, oh, I can't wait. They went to go on a trip to Florida, and yeah, they were done.
Yeah, we're done
after
here.
That. So.
Text messages, 360. Lifetime movie basically means she's a psycho that may or may not want to boil your rabbits. I don't know whether that's a Lifetime movie.
Oh, well, that's Fatal Attraction. Yeah.
Do you mean Hallmark movie when you say Lifetime?
Yeah,
movie?
I think Lifetime movies are all like sort of like thriller scary, I think, a little bit.
I think you mean Hallmark movies.
Yeah,
Movies. Lifetime does the Christmas movies normal, but yeah, a lot of their movies are about like someone getting their child stolen. Or
360, Justin just got that riz? Is that true, Justin? Thanks. Do you have great riz?
Now, as far as Justin, another thing, Justin's swag. I respect.
Right, he's got a lot of swag.
No. I really like it. Like, he owns his deal. So up there in first night, my man pops out with the Rainier's jacket. Oh, filthy.
Yeah, the clean. Ebbetsfield satin. It's a good one.
Oh, it was clean. So my homeboy was like, hey, man, that jacket clean. I was like, yeah, like you can't. Like,
he was shocked.
You can't say nothing, right?
Were you hoping to say something?
No,
no,
but it stood out, right? And then when did you hit us with the Griffies?
That might have been that night. Oh no, it was the next night. It was the next night.
They didn't hit us with
the
Griffies.
You're so judgmental about this stuff. Why are you so judgmental about what everybody's wearing?
I don't know. Same way. Wait a minute.
That's a good.
The same way you're judgmental.
Yeah.
With people like me that are upset about baseball in
April.
You're a baseball snob, bro.
Here's the fight.
You're a baseball snob.
I don't want to fight with you.
You wrote something, and I know your subliminal shots were being taken at me in that article. I could see it.
Honestly, was not. It was to you in many ways, but it was not supposed to be a shot at all. It was an explanation of why we may have our wires crossed, of why some people are thinking one thing and others are thinking another, and none of them are necessarily wrong. That's all. Honestly, it was supposed to be a peace offering, if nothing else. There are no shots.
But I don't feel like it's a peace offering. I feel like sometimes that all of you baseball experts and all of you all that cover baseball, when there's the pedestrian fan, someone who doesn't cover it the way that you guys do, they don't follow it the way that you guys do, but it has just jumped in. And by the way, real quick, baseball was my first love. Right, I used to love baseball. Kind of fell out in love with it for a long time, and then now I'm back watching it wholeheartedly. Looking forward to. Shout out to the Chicago Cubs. They're coming in town to play against the Mariners. That's happening tonight. I'm looking forward to it. But once we have questions, once we don't like something, I feel that you become a baseball snob.
But it's like that's a feeling. I think you're honestly projecting that. How am I being snobby?
Because 2 weeks ago, we're going to talk about it, I made a comment and you hit me with a question mark like April 2nd, question mark. And it's interesting because you gave me the question mark April 2nd and everything that's happening April 2nd, I can still ask you the same thing. It's April 12th, question mark, because some of the same things are happening.
Yes.
So if I say I don't like that this player is batting at this position, I mean what I mean. Don't tell me I'm wrong based on what
said you were wrong.
You got to look at this.
No one said you were wrong. You're not wrong. Okay. No one says you're wrong.
Okay, well, I feel better now. I think in front of everybody.
You're
nicer with me on this conversation in front of everyone.
Jokes aside, honestly, you are reading too much into this. I'm not being mean. I'm not being rude. I'm not looking down on you. I don't think you're wrong. You are entitled to think whatever you want about the Mariners. I don't like when people put their thoughts onto me. And I don't like when people say, well, this is what's going to happen. And I'm like, okay, well, I don't necessarily think that. I don't think about the grand scale of things on April 2nd, three games into a season. I don't. If you want to, you can. But I don't think that it makes a lot of sense given the way baseball is played over 162. If those things continue for 10 more games, for 15 more games, for 60 more games, then obviously you've identified a problem. But the game is so littered with complete 180-degree turns from day to day, from week to week, that I think if you were to manage that way, if a manager were to react to every single time he saw something like that, your team would have no structure, would have no vision, it would have no consistency. And honestly, you couldn't function that way as a baseball team.
Fair. I don't expect to function like a manager.
Right.
I don't expect to look at baseball like some of the experts. However, I do think that I represent the majority of people in America. You know what I mean? No, I'm just saying.
I think, like, everybody thinks that, but yes.
No, well, I'm talking about when it just a casual fan of baseball, mm-hmm. right? Like, I know the game, played the game, watched the game at some point. Now I admit it to you guys, and I'm, you know, getting back into it and watching it. So when I say I'm the majority, I don't think that the majority of people in America sit down and watch baseball religiously. I just don't think that they do. And so when you do, as the casual fan, you come in and like, oh, man, I'm just going to jump in. I'm going to watch the team. And you start to say, oh, man, this isn't good, or this isn't great. And you start asking those questions. And then when you start being told, well, that's just baseball. And, oh, it's just April 2nd. And it's April. Even though in the article, and by the way, I want to just say this. I think what you wrote in Seattle Sports, and by the way, if you haven't seen it, Mike Salk did an excellent job. I, you know, for the first time ever, I read everything word for word.
Wow, thank you. I'm honored.
Yeah, at least I'm being honest. Hey, so I, no, I'm kidding. I read the whole thing. I thought what you wrote was fantastic. I thought what you wrote was for people like me, right, to get an understanding. I also loved how you talked about, like, okay, look, in baseball, the manager is not going to come out in the media like, oh, this needs to happen, oh, and scream, rah, rah, rah.
Can't do it.
I love how you gave the example how on Wednesday during the day game, instead of Cal Raleigh playing in that game, instead of him having the day off, he played.
Mm-hmm.
I love that example that you gave. That was excellent. Well done. And I think that article helped. But I think it took a moment for you to get to that article. Because before that article, I don't think that you had that type of way of accepting. I didn't feel that way.
This is what I literally said to you 10 minutes ago, which is I feel like we've had our wires crossed a little bit. That when I say it's early, I don't mean it's okay. But people who say it's early or get upset with the phrase it's early seem to be insinuating that it's never going to be okay. And everything is bad, and everything's always going to be bad, and it confirms their views on the future.
Mm-hmm.
And all I'm trying to say is when you say it's early, which it is on November, what is today, April 12th?
Yes.
The Mariners stink today. They've played terrible baseball. Mm-hmm. Nothing is excusing. By saying it's early, it doesn't excuse lousy baseball. Mm-hmm. As I wrote in it, early does not mean excusable. Nobody wants to see this. But it doesn't mean that that's what's going to continue. Mm-hmm. Baseball is played with average. There's a reason we use the word average so often in baseball. Your batting average, your on-base percentage, right? Because over time, things tend to hit their mean in baseball. They go up for a while. They go down for a while. They come up for a while. They go down. They go down further. They come up. They go up higher. And at the end of your career, you're a 250 hitter. You got hits 25% of the time. Some days it wasn't like that. Some days you went 0 for 4. Some days you went 3 for 4. And eventually it worked out to one hit every four at-bats.
Yeah.
That's why I can't look at a 10-day stretch or on April 3rd, a 4-day stretch and say this is indicative of who this team is, because no 4-day stretch is indicative of who a team is. None. And by the way, a few years ago when the Mariners, remember the year the Mariners?
2019, 13-2.
When they sold everybody, right? Yeah. They sold off Cano. They moved on from Nelly Cruz. They rebuilt. They said, we're done. We're out. We're going to rebuild. They started off that year 13-2. They were awful.
I think
that
they finished 60-something wins.
Edwin Encarnacion had a couple of home runs. Who was the guy? Jay Bruce hit like 4 home runs in the first week of that season. That team was terrible.
68-94 they finished.
They finished 68-94. They started off 13-2. It's remarkable. It's not that the beginning of the year doesn't matter. It does matter. Mm-hmm. Last year, they didn't make the playoffs because they stunk in May.
Yeah.
But it doesn't indicate the future. That's all I'm trying to say.
If you look at me, would you say that I'm somebody that's good at marriage?
Well, you haven't been in the past, but that doesn't mean you won't be in the future.
I'm going to save that drop. That is an incredible line.
He has made comments that weren't like that before.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? Okay. So
you got him on that one.
Hold on. Let's keep going.
Seems good at marriage now. I've never said that.
Oh, okay. Let's keep going. Let's keep going. Why would you think that I wasn't good at marriage at some point?
Because you had three that have gone awry in the past.
Okay. Right? So what I'm saying is that when we are talking sometimes about present day,
right,
sometimes the past does matter.
Right.
Right? Okay.
But with a baseball team or a football team, like the past.
Or it at least influences your opinion.
But they're different humans.
How many times have we said it's early in the last 10 years here?
Every year. Including the year they were 13-2.
Hold on. So
because it is early.
Why is it just because it's baseball, or is it just because me and marriage? So does the past matter at all? Does it influence the way we think about something current day? If anything that's happened in the past, I'm just airing this out right now. I'm just telling you how I feel.
Yes, it does, which is why we continue to say it's early, because the history of baseball is littered with teams that did one thing for the first week of the season and something else for the ensuing, five months and 3 weeks.
Gee, the past can also handcuff the present, right? So you can't let that completely project onto the what you're looking at.
I don't disagree. Look, at the cost of throwing myself under the bus, right? I'm doing that to make a legitimate point, right? You can't say to someone who's casually getting into the game of baseball, right? You can't you don't understand. You can't panic. Hey, I had a little past here.
Let me ask this. Let me, in the interest of trying to be a helpful person. Okay. The next time you come to me in April, early April.
By the way, I don't even text you guys anymore.
When you tell me your cockamamie view on the marriage, okay. What would you like me to say? What would be a good response? What would not insult you? What would be welcoming? Tell me what you would like me to say doesn't conflict with my actual beliefs of the world. Short of just agreeing with you, which I don't do.
No, you don't.
Well, I don't. I'm like, I just don't think the same thing as you in this case.
No, I agree.
What would you like me to say that you think would appease you as you said, a casual baseball fan?
Let's just talk about right now. So instead of hey, this is just baseball, or hey, it's still early, let's talk about baseball in its early phases of right now, of what we see right now, right? We don't have to talk about years previous, and by the way, I'm going back to the marriage thing. We don't have to talk about the past, because you can be better than your past was. Let's just talk about that. So, for example, if tonight I go out with my friends and I decide not to come home on a Friday night, we're not going to talk about the last previous nights that I was doing well. We're going to talk about that night. That was bad. Mm-hmm. That wasn't good. Mm-hmm. So when I talk to you about baseball and these games, Mike Salk, let's talk about right then.
You have to do that too, because when you ask me questions like, is JP going to be better? That's not about right now. Is Julio going? I'm just reading your texts. Is Julio going to be better? Well, you want me to answer what he's doing right now? You're asking me about the future. When you say things like JP has to be out of the leadoff spot, that's not about how he's playing right now. These are about your feelings about the future.
I think there are different kinds of fans, and you guys are arguing over how to be a fan, and you just need to be the kind of fan you are.
And I think you can both say, your feelings are valid. I disagree.
Is that what you want me to say?
I'm a more pessimistic fan, I understand that.
You would think of the two of us that's been married way longer and have done a better job that your communication skills would be better.
My wife's not as high maintenance as you are.
No, but I think...
Not even close.
But I think that your communication around marriage and relationships is better than it is than baseball.
Because when I'm talking to somebody in my marriage, we both have equal stake in our marriage. You come into the Mariners for 2 minutes, think you've got an expert opinion on it, and then fly away.
No, I don't.
Whereas I have to sit here and stew in it every single day.
Wait. Stop that. Mara, do I come in as if I'm an expert? I'm clearly telling you guys.
You told us you were pumped about this season and you wanted to get more into it.
That's it. I don't claim to be an expert. I for sure don't know baseball the way possibly I might know other sports. And some can argue whether I know those things at all. However, I've been around other sports.
But just think about what you're saying. What you're saying is, I don't know this sport that well. I've asked somebody who I think does know this sport that well what they think. I don't like what they're saying, so I'm going to call them an elitist.
No. I just say, I don't like the way you respond to me.
It's the same way I respond to anybody else.
You respond to me.
You're just more high maintenance about it. I don't know a whole lot about this. Can you tell me what you think? You seem to know more about it. Well, I think you're overreacting. Well, I don't like that. Okay. Don't tell me I'm overreacting. What do you want me to say?
Okay, how about this? I'll simplify it.
Okay.
You said something about maybe 2-3 minutes ago, and you said, hey, G, right now, this team stinks.
Right.
Okay, I'm done. That's it. That was all I wanted. I mean, like, what we were seeing right then. Now, can they turn around? Absolutely.
Right.
Should they turn around? On paper, it says yes, that they should. It does say, I agree that, you know, my man Julio won't be hitting like this the entire time. The leadoff hitter won't be hitting like that the entire time, right? Luis will finally become an ace at some point on paper. So, yes, we agree.
Okay. I'm so confused by you in general, honestly.
Why? I love this assessment. The 425 says, Salk and G, you sound like every fight I have with my wife. She wants to vent. I want to try and rationalize her problems. It never works. Just nod and comfort G.
Yeah, if you just want to vent, go vent to somebody else. Yeah. We're not married.
No, Betsy and I have that conversation.
Vent to the person you're married to.
But when I do vent,
you are not a safe place.
No, I'm not.
For me to vent to.
Yes. Let me just tell you.
Okay.
We had a breakthrough.
Yes. Stop freaking venting to me. I am not here to absorb your venting.
I have
my own issues. I don't want to take on your issues. Why would anybody want to vent to me?
And by the way, now since we're talking, if you just heard Mike Salk say, don't vent to me.
Don't vent to me.
Vent to someone else.
Yes.
Just make sure it's just baseball. Because I'm going to tell you what I've learned in life. Fellas, if she tells you or you tell her, I don't want to hear it. I don't like that. Don't even vent to me. You sound like a nag.
Hold on.
Trust me, player. She might start venting to somebody
else.
We're
not married. I want to be very clear about this. You and I do not have a marriage relationship.
Yeah, we do.
We are not betrothed.
Yes, we do. Yes,
I have not committed to you. It is not until the day I die.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
Why am I on radio?
I don't know. I want out. I would like out of this marriage. Wife, it's enough. I chose my wife partially because she's not high maintenance.
Say what you want to say.
I'm the high maintenance person in my relationship. I don't need a higher maintenance person to have a relationship with. I'm already the high maintenance one, which is why I matched with a very low maintenance woman. So there you go. All right. G, thank you, I guess. It was nice to have you in today.
Happy belated birthday, G.
What did we accomplish?
Very little, I would say, other than to drive listeners to another radio station. But hopefully they're heading over
Justin
to...
Justin and I aren't good counselors. Sorry.
No.
We're just going to let you guys duke it out.
Most people say this looks like terrible radio. And then that Mike looks visibly upset. I might be. Yeah, I might be pretty accurate. No, I'm not upset. I love G. We'll go hug it out afterwards.
This text, 253, you guys are killing me. I'm about to walk into UPS listening to this dramatic quarrel.
Now, the interesting thing is I know people, they're probably saying, oh, this is just a shtick for radio.
No, nothing shtick about it.
I promise you, this is all the time. Like, all the time. All right. Hey, love y'all.
Hey, I guess that's the right word for it. Love you too, brother. There goes G. We'll be right back. It's Brock and Salk. Oh, Stacy's coming in. That'll lighten the mood here on Seattle Sports on 710.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons.
And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.